Hi Queens, how are you doing today? FYI for the video, for those that are watching the YouTube, I may have to split this into two parts because I've not given myself enough time to record and I have a consultation call in half an hour. So it won't really affect the podcast because I'll just like piece everything together when I record the next part. But for the video, my lighting and everything might look different if I have to split it into two. And so, before we get into today's episode, all about secret eating, I want to share with you something very, very exciting. So, I have just launched a new membership called Binge on Self Love with Victoria, and it's €20 a month and it's cancelable anytime. Not that you want to leave, but the option is always there. And it's direct access to me every day and every week in this private group. So it's away from social media purposely. And you can ask me questions and I will answer you directly, most likely with a voice note and always with homework. Now, I'll be asking you to share your homework or the action steps that I've asked you to do regarding your question and my answer in the group for accountability. And then I'll be sharing resources in there. There's all the queens in there that can also celebrate and support you. And I just felt called to create this when I was walking one day, the idea came to me. And so here it is. Being in my energy really is so transformational. And I'm really taking ownership of that now. I'm fully receiving it because I've been told that for so long and I've kind of brushed it off and been like, oh no, like, no, I'm not that amazing. Or no, I'm just me. And yeah, I am just me. And I'm not that amazing. We all are. But I'm totally owning it that just being around me is going to help you massively in your life. And this membership isn't just around food freedom and body love. It's about anything, relationships, money, purpose, spirituality, energy, empowerment, confidence. Anything you can ask me, and I will answer and share my wisdom and support you and all the things. So, check that out. I will link it below, of course. It's called Binge on Self Love with Victoria. Like I said, €20 a month, cancelable anytime. Cannot wait to see you in there if this is calling your name. All right, then, let's get into the episode. Secret eating. Why do we hide food? Why do we eat in secret? How can we stop this? What should we do about it? I'm going to answer those questions in today's episode. And as usual, I will be in Victoria style, aka unapologetically, authentically myself. So get ready to learn something new. Want to start off with asking if you can relate. I have literally lost count of the number of times that I have eaten in secret. I can't remember the first time that I did, but I do know it was when I was a child. I rebelled right from a young age. Yes, that does have something to do with me being a manifester in human design. If you know, then you know. Always rebelling and hate being told what to do. But I always used to be told off for taking food off people's plates, rightly so, to be fair. I mean, I'm not being funny. If a child came and took food off my plate, I would not be happy. But I'm sure there were ways that you could be told or explained to as a child. But I just used to get told, you're greedy. That was a really regular thing that I used to hear. You're so greedy. Your eyes are bigger than your belly. You eat too much and all of that. And so as an adult, I would hoard food. And then I would hide it and then I would eat it in secret, not wanting to share any of it. I remember when I was doing all the fitness modeling stuff and I was in bulimia, I would literally start buying different chocolate bars on a Monday. You know, it's always chocolate with me, guys. I would start buying chocolate bars on a Monday and desserts and things like that. And I'd have like a secret stash in my wardrobe that I would start piling these things up in this wardrobe space that no one knew about. And I would look at them every day. And then as the week progressed, I'd be buying more and more, and I'd be like so freaking excited for Saturday morning to come around so I could start eating them all. And it was this weird, it wasn't weird, it makes sense to me now, but it was this really like weird obsession of hoarding food and looking at it and buying it and then waiting to binge on it when I allowed myself the weekend to just fully, quote, have a cheat meal, which was the whole fucking weekend, which didn't make sense. Well, it does make sense, but to me, it didn't make sense then. I would binge alone because number one, I didn't want to share. They might not be enough because of all the past restrictions. And number two, I didn't want anyone to see what and how much I was actually eating because I was so ashamed, right? When I used to buy binge food in the shop, I would feel so ashamed of what I was buying and how much I was buying. And I would say to the cashier, this was before self-service was a thing, I would say, oh yeah, girls' night tonight, got the girls coming over for like a movie night, which was a lie. So I said that to try and protect myself from her judgment if she thought all the food was for me, which it was. When I used to babysit, I would raid the cupboards and feel deeply ashamed of what I had eaten. And I would worry for weeks, like, what if they find out? What if they knew it was me that ate all that food? I remember one time it wasn't babysitting. I was looking after a stable. So like I was in charge and in a responsibility for all these horses at this horse stable. And I was staying in her house and like, they had like, they were kind of like really old fashioned. They didn't really have typical like processed food or anything like that in the house. And I remember like going through every single drawer and cupboard that wasn't even in my house. Like as even that was like, I felt so wrong for doing that. Like searching out like cocoa powder and like sugar and like trying to like mix and make like icing sugar and icing powder and just eating stuff like that. Anything at all that had sugar in it, I was there. I mean, I'll share some more stories with you. I've eaten many times 12 Krispy Kreme donuts in a row and then hid the box in next door neighbor's bin in the night so no one could see that it was me and my partner couldn't see the evidence of the box. I would, when I worked in a building society, when we had birthdays and things that people had birthdays, and to be honest, I think there was an excuse to have processed food and yummy, delicious treats behind the back of the cashiers all the time anyway, but I was out front. And so when people would bring these things in for like a birthday, for an example, I would freak out that I wouldn't be able to get enough or get what I wanted because by the time my lunchtime came around, all the good stuff would be gone and I was working outside in the banking hall. So I would legitimately sneak the food and the chocolates and the biscuits, hide them in the broom cupboard so that I had enough, and then like go and eat them in the toilet, like throughout random parts, times of the day. I mean, I was like an addict or something. I would wait for my man to have a shower, who is now my husband. At the time, he was my boyfriend. I would wait for him to have a shower. Then I would deep dive into the freezer, defrost the brownies that I'd frozen in an attempt for me to not eat them, whack them in the microwave, go to the toilet and then eat them so quickly. And I'd feel so bad. I'd feel that bad. It was almost like I'd pushed an old lady into the street or something. Like that's how guilty I would feel. What else would I do? I would pour milk down the sink. So, oh, we've run out of milk. Don't worry. I'll go to the shop and get some for us. Where I blatantly just poured it down the sink so we didn't have any, so I could have an excuse to go to the shop. And then I would eat like 2 to 3 family-sized bars of chocolate. So what's that? 3, like almost a kilogram of chocolate, not far off. In the car, parked down the road from my house, eating that before I came back from the shop, then being like, oh, the shop was really busy. It's a fucking lie also. I was binge eating and eating in secret in my car down the road. I would create dessert eating challenges with the men from the gym that I would win, by the way, kind of still proud of that fact, so that I had a quote, an excuse to be able to eat that much in one go. I mean, sorry, I've got an itch. I totally got stung or bitten or whatever mosquitoes do earlier, and my leg is this one big swollen thing. I'm currently itching it. Sorry for the podcast. You don't know what is going on right now. So they were just a few examples of the shit that I used to do. And I legitimately thought I was addicted to chocolate, which isn't a thing. I wasn't. You can't be. I've done a whole episode about it. If anyone has any questions, I love answering these type of questions. But what about the chemical reaction with the serotonin in your brain and the dopamine? And what about the addictive substances they put into it? All about having that conversation. Ask me and I'll create an episode if you want to hear the answers to those questions specifically. Okay, at first, by the way, that whole point of me sharing that was to ask you, can you relate to any of what I've shared? I know I get a lot of amazing souls that are listening and watching this to my episodes, and they're not necessarily in binge eating or the binge or purge cycle. A lot of you are suffering from extreme restriction, anorexia, orthorexia. And so when I'm creating my episodes, they're going to be more relevant to each of you, depending on where you are in and what eating disorder you're currently in. But either way, I'm sure you can relate to even just a mindset around this. So, you know, I'm really hoping that this is landing with all of you and it's going to be helpful, whatever eating disorder you're currently in. At first, when we eat in secret, it feels exhilarating. It feels like, oh my God, freedom, feels free. And then those feelings quickly morph into shame, into self-disgust. When we eat in secret, we often hide the evidence, almost like we're hiding a murder weapon or something. Seriously, there's so much shame around secret eating, hence why we do it in secret, right? If anyone saw what and how much I actually ate, they would be disgusted. That's what kind of things I used to think about myself when I was secret eating. But we can't stop doing it. And we feel even worse about ourselves, isolating ourselves even more. It's a very lonely and dark place to be. But at the same time, we don't want anyone close to us. And depending on the environment we're living in, we also have to be on high alert to make sure that nobody's interrupting us, nobody is catching us in the act, quote. So we can never truly relax and enjoy our secret eating anyway, not even for a moment. And also, eating actually slightly softens the loneliness for a few seconds. So we eat more, trying to desperately search for some kind of comfort. Honestly, it's literally like the feedback loop of Satan or something. I want to go into secret eating and human nature, because if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, I'm going to assume you are human. My secret eating was purely linked to rebellion from restriction and shame around my body. Shame around food in our bodies goes back a long way. If you think back to ancient history around the Bible, right? I'm not saying you have to be religious, but you'll know why I'm going to share this in a moment. One of the most well-known stories in the world is a tale of Adam and Eve, and that is based on the act of sneaking food. And as the story goes, the first couple was given an all-important food rule: do not eat the apple. I have no fucking idea why they were not allowed to eat the apple, but there you go. They were tempted to break this rule because do not press that red button. Do not think of a pink elephant. And they ended up eating the apple. And honestly, I am sure it was actually only Eve who got reprimanded for eating the apple. Well, they both got kicked out of the garden, but it was apparently Eve's fault because she initiated and picked the apple that they then both ate. Funny that. In the story, they assume they're not being watched when they break the food rule, or the rule to not touch the apple, the forbidden fruit. And so soon afterwards, we find Adam and Eve hiding in the garden, feeling terribly guilty. And for the first time, they're ashamed of their naked bodies. What's worse, the big guy upstairs then punishes them for sneaking the one forbidden food. And as I mentioned above, there tends to be an initial rush when we sneak food. It's exciting. It gets our adrenaline pumping. It's a unique kind of high. but soon after, it's easy to fall into the unwanted repercussions of secret eating. We can feel guilty and ashamed. We can be obsessed about concealing the evidence of our crime. We can feel shitty in our bodies, bloated, dizzy, tired, and brain foggy from the sugar high and then the low. I remember one time I ate so much fudge in one go that I legitimately thought that I was on drugs. I mean, I've never taken drugs, so I haven't got anything to compare, but I was like on an actual high and I felt physically dizzy because I'd eaten so much sugar in one go. We can drop into a deep fear of weight gain, find ourselves in self-judgment, self-hate, self-attack, live in a constant state of agitation around what we've just done, and also knowing we're most likely to do it very soon again in the future. And all of these repercussions of sneaking food are very predictable and they can be so uncomfortable. You know, for me, it was so uncomfortable. I wanted to crawl out of my skin. The fear and the shame from the feeling of fullness and bloating were so overwhelming, I can't even describe it in words. It literally felt like a matter of life or death. And it felt like I had chosen death by doing it, by eating like that way. And I was panicking in a way that assumed I was actually going to die unless I felt better immediately. And that was impossible. So I know so many of you will be able, unfortunately, will be able to relate to that. Secret eating can and does impact so many areas of our lives, all areas of our lives, our relationships, our work, our focus, our friendships, our sexuality, our confidence, our self-worth, and so much more. Secret eating can be a haunting secret. I've written haunting. Did I mean daunting? Either way, I guess it fits. It can be a haunting or daunting secret that we don't want anybody to know about. One of my previous clients who was actually in a very highly professional job, and she was, you know, everyone saw her as like having all her shit together and all of this, and all this pressure was on her to stay quote perfect. And she shared it with me that it was her dirty little secret that she had shared with nobody but me. But here's the thing, you're not alone. You're not alone in this, I promise you. There is always, always a brilliant reason rooted in biology, psychology, or both as to why we do an unwanted eating behavior. In other words, there are good, logical explanations for why we participate in behaviors that we say we don't want to do. Knowing these explanations can help us better understand what's driving us. Why are we doing what we're doing when we say we don't want to do it, right? There's always a reason. And here is the first brilliant reason rooted in psychology as to why we would sneak food and eat in secret. We've accepted the toxic belief that eating something is bad. I have worked with hundreds of women who have had the toxic and incorrect belief of certain foods are practically illegal, and therefore eating them is basically a crime. Why do so many people think eating is illegal, right? And obviously I'm speaking metaphorically here, but it's that extreme. That's why I'm using these words. That's what the world teaches us, though. We are taught that weight is our enemy, fat is our enemy. And if we have too much of these, or if the number on the scale is not acceptable, then our life will be one of misery. In our day and age, body fat is seen as a sure sign that we are unlovable. We are taught to believe that having body fat means that we will never find true love, that we can't be our real and truest selves, and that we can never be happy. So with this kind of toxic input from our media, our music, our social platforms, and more, we naturally conclude that food should be illegal. Some food should be illegal, since it's food that seems to be the culprit of making us fat. But the problem is, we need food. We crave it. Our biology demands it. We must have it to live. And the more we restrict a certain type of food, the more we'll crave it and end up eating it in large quantities anyway. And so restriction is counterproductive. The only, what word am I looking for? I don't know. I can't find it. The only place where this doesn't make sense, I wasn't looking for those words, but whatever, is when you have the genetic component for anorexia. The anorexia gene is switched on, aka you're at a body weight that is so low, under a certain weight for you, that the anorexia gene is switched on, and therefore your body actually stops craving food and causes and makes and sends you and drives you to eat less and move more. That's another topic altogether. But when the anorexia gene is switched off, even if you had the anorexia gene like myself, mine was switched off, when you got to a certain body weight, that your body thinks that there's actually food again. So then it will just send you all the signals to eat. And then the more you restrict, the more you're going to eat anyway. So restriction is counterproductive completely to live a happy, healthy and fulfilling life. So what we tend to do then, seeing food as illegal, feeling like we're a criminal for eating the food, we find this odd middle ground, so to speak, where we see eating as a crime and we are the criminal who must commit the crime of eating. We're basically saying eating is not safe, nor is eating accepted. But we have to do it anyway. We see food as a threat. And of course, any good criminal knows, not that I would know, but assuming here, the best way to do a crime is to do it quickly and to do it in secret. But any good criminal also knows we eventually must be punished for our crimes. So we create self-punishment such as harsh self-attacking thoughts, intense guilt and shame, dieting and food restriction, punishing exercise, eating even more food that we fear will make us fat. Are you beginning to see how our inner nature can drive this secret eating? Can you understand how the behaviors that we believe are unstoppable and unexplainable actually have brilliant reasons for their existence? Before we look at how to transform secret eating, let's take a look at a few more reasons to understand it better, to look at the factors that might be driving it. Okay, good foods and bad foods. Most people, and not only my clients, like most people that I speak to, have a list in their minds of what are good foods and what are bad foods. So they have a clear idea of these foods are good and healthy for me, and these foods are bad and unhealthy for me. And the lists do tend to differ from person to person. However, they do tend to share some similarities. So some people might have meat on their bad list, whereas others will consider it good. But most people agree that vegetables are on the good for me, good list, and sugar is on the bad food, bad for me list. But here's a conundrum with that. Many foods that are on the bad food list are some of the tastiest and most alluring. Foods such as processed food, fast food, fried food, chocolate, ice cream, sugar of all kinds, right? I know you know what I'm talking about. So if a food is on your bad list and you eat that bad food, what does that make you? It automatically makes you a bad person, a criminal. And what do we do to bad people? We punish them. The punishment is not only shame and guilt and self-attack, as you'd expect. We also punish ourselves through dieting, exercise, negative self-talk, body shaming, and more, self-harm as well. So we have essentially punished ourselves for the crime of eating a food that we ourselves have labeled as illegal and bad. So can you see the irony here? When we judge a food as morally bad, we will eventually judge and punish ourselves for eating it, especially when society is mirroring that back to you all the goddamn time. But for now, let's take a look at one more brilliant reason why we would sneak food or participate in secret eating that is psychological. We all have an inner rebel. Now, I touched on this earlier. Most, not all, but most of the women that I attract into my world, especially those that are struggling with binge eating or binge purging, they hate rules. They are naturally rebellious. Rebellion can also stem from childhood, from having a lot of rules placed upon us, feeling like we're being confined and restricted and not able to be our full, true, authentic, fully expressed selves. When we're older and we're able to make our own decisions, we often rebel against all the rules from childhood. All these rules, such as you're only allowed one, don't be greedy, you can't eat that, that's enough. We also rebel against our own rules, especially if we have been adherent to the past. Especially if we've been adhering to our past food rules, there comes a point where our inner selves are like, fuck this shit. I am sick of being held down by myself. I want to be free. And so the inner rebel comes out to play and looks like self-sabotage, but it's actually self-protection. Protection from being kept small. Protection from restriction. The rebel is operating from a hidden wisdom that has a message for us that we need to hear. If you're being rigid around your diet and you have food rules, then those rules actually need to be challenged. The rebel within you is often the one who stands up and says no to your often overly intense nutritional and dietary rules. In this way, the rebel is actually doing its job. The beauty of getting to know the rebel archetype within you is that you can begin to see how it's actually trying to help you learn something about yourself. It's a good reason. It has a good reason for its supposedly, quote, bad behaviors. So it might be helpful to ask, what is the rebel within me trying to teach me? What is it asking me to learn about myself and my relationship with food? And I'm going to give you a hint. If there are no rules, there are no rules to rebel against, right? So guidelines are different to rules. We can have guidelines from a place of self-love and nourishment, and they're different to rules. That's how I work in my framework with my clients and with myself. Now, my most favorite part is I want to go into the last one brilliant reason why we would sneak food or participate in secret eating, and in my opinion, is the strongest driving force. And that reason is all about our genetic hard wiring. And this is where I want to go into how evolutionary biology can drive secret eating. Now, there's a part of us that's a bit of an animal, meaning we are driven by instincts that have been selected for eons of time in our genetic evolution. These instincts originated from a time when we were living a very different existence that was based on survival. Simply put, the behaviors of secret eating actually has a brilliant reason for its existence that's rooted in our survival biology. So biology is always stronger than psychology. Secret eating is actually imprinted in the most primitive and instinctual part of our brain. A lot of professionals call this reptile brain. It's the oldest part of our brain, the reptilian brain. We are programmed to eat food far away from our competitors. When an animal in nature makes a kill, if you've ever watched those nature channels, it wants that kill all for itself. We aren't interested in sharing our feast with any other species, and there are plenty of other creatures out there who are more than happy to take from us what is rightfully ours. In our primal world then, food was competition. And the best way to enjoy that food that we just caught is to eat it in a secret place. I wanted to say, actually, in our primal world then, food was competition, and the best way to enjoy the food that you just caught was to eat it in a secret place. When we eat in a hiding spot, secret eating, we're banking that no other animals will see us, and then we can eat and then we can survive. Have you ever given your dog, for example, or a cat a special treat and they've run away to eat it somewhere out of sight? A hawk, for example, a bird of prey, will always fly with its prey and eat in secret, fly away with its prey that it's just caught and eat it in secret, in a secret spot. Carnivorous mammals will most often do the same. And so secret eating is an important evolutionary strategy for survival. So how does this apply to modern day humans? Have you ever had the experience of having your favorite dessert in the house and you felt compelled to eat it before anyone else could get to it? Or have you ever hidden a food somewhere in your house to ensure that no one else could find it? I know I have, multiple times. If you grew up with many brothers and sisters as well, or if you have many children of your own now, you've seen that this food competition is very much alive as well in modern humans today. So we can be very territorial around food, even if no one is truly competing for it. And here's the thing, chronic dieters and those with a history of restriction are often instinctually driven to make sure that the food we want is ours and ours only for this reason. You ready? When we are restricting, our bodies think we are in a famine. It's literally restriction PTSD, fear of there not being enough due to all the years of previous restrictions that you've put yourself through. So if you think about it, imagine that you were actually in a famine, not just tricking your biology and body into thinking it's in a famine. Imagine you were actually in a real famine and there wasn't enough food. Your biology would drive you to do everything you needed to do in order to survive. This would include making sure you had enough, which would mean not sharing, hiding, eating in secret. You would only share with your children, family, or partner if they were at risk of starving too. And that's because of this big thing called love, right? Which makes the world go round, if you ask me. So just wanted to recap. If your biology thinks it's in a famine, it's going to drive you to, one, eat more food without a shadow of a doubt, eat food that is high in fat and sugar, and number three, eat food away from people because the fear of there not being enough. When I used to have chocolate in the house all the time, which to be honest, I still do, and Wouter, my now husband, used to eat it. I mean, thankfully, well, not thankfully for him, he gets an allergic reaction to chocolate, not an allergic reaction, that's a bit harsh. He has really bad hay fever, and hay fever is to do with histamine, and chocolate contains a lot of histamine. And so if you eat chocolate and you sneeze a lot, that's because your body is trying to get rid of the extra histamine and you're in a season of high histamine, which is the summer. And so he doesn't eat it now, but when he used to, in the winter especially, when he would take some, I would feel so angry. And then when I was eating it and sitting next to him and he wanted some, I would literally be like, I do not want to fucking share with you. Then I'd feel bad because I was like, why the hell do I not want to share chocolate with the person that I love? And that's all due to restriction PTSD. So it's not you. I'm sure you're going to share your crayons and all of that. But sharing food, especially chocolate and ice cream, is just due to restriction trauma. Okay. So at a biological level, listen carefully to this. At a biological level, if you are not eating completely unrestricted, then your body will think you're in an environment where there is a food shortage. Otherwise, why would you be eating with restriction? In brackets, hello, diet culture and beauty standards. That's the reason why. So I want to talk now how you can transform secret eating and let go of sneaking food. If you are ready to say goodbye to unwanted secret eating, sneaking food, you're already well on your way because you've now got a deeper understanding of what this behavior is all about and why you've been doing it. And so with that, here are my three favorite strategies, and only strategies, if you ask me, to help you along your way. Strategy number one, allow all foods and eat unrestrictedly. You knew that was coming, right? Yes, it sounds scary and liberating, and it is the only way to have a peaceful and free relationship with food is by eating unrestricted and allowing all foods all the time. Number two, let go of the concept of good versus bad foods. This is all about belief change. And believe me, you can change your beliefs. Believe me. Much of our secret eating is driven by our strong beliefs about good foods and bad foods. But here's the thing. Yes, there are a certain types of food that have a good chance to give you healthful nourishment, fill your physical body with nourishment and everything it needs. And there are certain foods that don't give you that. But food itself is not morally good or bad, meaning no candy bar or chocolate bar has ever conspired an evil master plan to rot your teeth. Vegetables do not have little angelic halos around their heads. Food has no moral value. It's simply just neutral. It's just food. Think of a knife, right? A sharp kitchen knife. Is the knife good or is the knife bad? It's just a knife. It depends how you use the knife, right? The same goes with food. When you look at foods as either physically health enhancing or mentally and emotionally health enhancing and take away the moral power that you have given it, you will have gotten your power back from food. Let me just say that again in more simple terms. When you look at food as good for you, always, whether it's physically good for you or emotionally good for you or both, you take away the moral power you've given it, and then food will have less power over you. It is not about getting your control back from food. It's not about being in control. You were never in control. It's biology we're speaking about here. Your biology always wins. It's about taking your power back from food and taking it off the pedestal so food has no power over you anymore. The control doesn't even come into it. So you will have less of a need to punish yourself for eating it then. So begin paying attention to how you label foods as morally good or morally bad. Notice how labeling a food as bad will drive you to eat it in secret. Notice, observe how this can drive you into self-attacking thoughts if you eat a food that is on your bad list. And notice how looking at the world of food in a black or white way simply just does not serve you. Which leads us to our final strategy for transforming secret eating. And number three is to let go of the toxic belief that eating is a crime or it's bad. Or it's wrong. It's similar to the strategy number two about good or bad foods. But eating in general, the most common reason to eat in secret is that we're convinced that eating is a crime, that food is illegal. And we likely believe this because we fear gaining weight. We fear having body fat. And we fear that we are going to be judging in judgment from others for not having the perfect body. We need to let go of the toxic belief that eating is a crime if we wish to find peace and freedom with food. I consider that a fact. How do you let go of this belief? Well, here are some suggestions. First, you can set the intention for yourself that you truly wish to let go of this belief. Even though you don't know how, you can still commit yourself to the outcome because you're a badass and you can do anything, just FYI. Next, notice whenever this belief arises or when you see it in action, become the observer. So this means that anytime you're about to sneak food, catch yourself lovingly and ask yourself, can I choose in this moment to eat without hiding? Can I allow myself to eat freely, to be brave enough to see eating as my birthright and not a crime? Can I allow pleasure with food to be a joy rather than a criminal act? And of course, you have to feel safe in order to be able to eat what you want to eat. Binge eating, emotional eating, whatever it is, if you've been restricting, you're going to experience those. And the only way out the other side is through, and that is through allowance, always. So I do understand that you need to feel safe, and other people might judge you out loud, and that will not help. It will probably re-traumatize you. So I say that as long as you yourself are owning what you are eating and not judging yourself and totally owning that, it's a lot easier to then do that in front of people. And if you're living with people, and if you're living with a loved one, you can have a conversation with them and explain to them, look, this is actually how I feel when I eat this way. And I feel this shame and embarrassment and whatever it is. And I'm scared you'll judge me. And if you would like to support me through this, then this is how you can do it. So just, I said to my fiance at the time, which was now my husband, Wouter, but he was my fiance at the time, it would be really, really helpful to me if you just didn't say anything about the food I was choosing to eat. So I'm not blaming you, but I would really appreciate it if you didn't look at me in a certain way, didn't mention like, why am I having that much chocolate or whatever it was, just completely ignore anything I'm doing around food. It would be really supportive for me if you just did that and just love me and accept me for who I am. And he did that. And that was a huge healing part of my journey, to be able to feel safe being fully myself around food in his presence. And it allowed me to just be myself around food in other people's presence. And eventually I owned the shit out of what I was eating anyway, and I didn't even give a fuck what anyone else thought. So just take it step by step, make sure you feel safe with the person, but it always comes first within yourself to own it for yourself first. And then finally, make sure to find a friend or a coach or a loved one who you can honestly share with, like I just, you know, just spoke to briefly. Decriminalizing the act of eating by having someone in your life that you aren't hiding from. Once again, this is a more powerful strategy than you can imagine. So many people engage in secret eating. They think that they're the only ones doing it, and they think they're the only ones that have this unwanted behavior. Or even if they know they're not the only one, I know I used to think this. I used to hear people say like, oh my God, I binged on like a packet of Oreos, and I'm there like binging on like 10 fucking packets and 2 pints of ice cream and all the rest of it. So even though I knew people did it, I was like, yeah, but they're not doing it like me. Like there's something wrong with me. The amount I could physically eat was not normal, but I wasn't alone. There were people like me who were eating that much because of the severe restriction and the all or nothing and all of that. So from a positive standpoint, It's okay. You're not alone. You're not alone in this. Be patient with yourself. It can take time to change your habits, your beliefs, and to find love for ourselves. Don't expect perfection. I see you, you perfectionists. Do not expect perfection. There's a saying that I like that goes, 70% perfection is success, and 100% perfection is failure. So don't expect perfection. Take baby steps and celebrate any small successes. And all in all, the only number one thing that is really going to drive and help you with this comes back to the same thing: allowance, eating unrestricted. And this is why it's really beneficial to get support through this, because it can be really scary and it's so easy to fall back into restriction when all the shit comes up, because restriction covers and holds down a lot of shit. When we think we're controlling our bodies and then getting the life we want because maybe we're striving for the body we want, we can feel like we're in control and it's all happy and all of that. And then when we stop doing that, when we actually allow ourselves to be human, and we allow ourselves to be in our authentic bodies and eat the way we want to eat, shit hits the fan. But that's a good thing, because that all comes up, and then you learn through my coaching anyway, how to actually feel your feelings, how to navigate that, how to rewire your fear of weight gain, how to take care of yourself, how to meet yourself with unconditional self-love, how to live in this world happy and confident in your authentic body. That, my love, is true freedom and liberation. And if this is speaking to you, I cannot wait to meet you in either one of my programs, my group program, my membership, Binge on Self-Love, or through one-to-one coaching. Just reach out to me. Any way I can help, I'm happy to do so. Thank you so much for listening, for watching. Any questions, let me know. I love to make them into an episode. Sending you so much love, and I'll see you next week. Bye.